Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Hey, Brent, would you stand and just pray for the word this morning?
Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you, that our hearts all rest in you, that our outside thoughts, that our worries, that our concerns, that our fears, that our anxiousness would be all set aside, that we can hear what John has to say to each one of us. We can apply it as we go through the week. I lift John up to you as he speaks your truth to us. I thank you so much for this opportunity to gather with brothers and sisters. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So, maybe some have wondered, well, when are we going to get back into Joseph? And we will. I promise. Just not today. So, last week, we discussed the importance of hearing God for ourselves. We talked about the voice of the Lord, and that God speaks, that Jesus is the shepherd, he speaks to his sheep, and that we should expect God, not that he spoke, yes, we agree and believe in that, but that he's still speaking, and that he will speak to me. I have ears to hear. That is the compelling call, if you will, throughout scriptures. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Over and over and over again, we have some variation of that beckoning call of God. That we would have ears to hear. And we know that when he talks about that, he's talking about the ear that's in our heart, that our hearts would hear, that inner ear. And so we want to take that a little bit further. We touched on it last week, of course, but now, I want to preface it. We are grateful for our teachers and our pastors and our mentors and our elders and our instructors, those who have inspired us and who have helped us on this journey of faith, right? We're thankful that God has spoken to others and we have been blessed by that. We're thankful that they heard the voice of the Lord and they shared what God had to say with us. So one of the questions that we pondered last week was, am I able to hear God speak? Am I in a place where I can discern the voice of the Lord? And am I able to share with others what God has spoken through his word to me? We mentioned that there are times part of the problem is that we are relying on others to do all the listening for us. And while we're thankful that others are listening, that's not where it's supposed to remain for any child of God, anyone called by the name of Jesus Christ, anyone who wears that great name. We're all called to listen, to be good listeners. Remember we talked, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for those who will listen, men and women who will hear, boys and girls who will hear. God has something to say, and he's looking for those who will hear him out. But as we know, and maybe this has been true of us at times, some have gone no further in their faith than this. God has spoken, and God speaks to others. And that's where their faith is at. That's good, but that's quitting the race before you even get into the next lap. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's good. You and I have faith that God has spoken. We know he's spoken. You have no doubt been blessed by many who have come and gone, who are no longer on this earth, who have their testimonies and their lives have been inspiring to you because they heard God speak and they shared that. And it's good to have faith that God has spoke in the past and that God has spoken to others. But there's more. And so the challenge is that we are to cultivate, if you will, an interest in hearing from God for ourselves. A.W. Tozer, out of his book, The Root of the Righteous, he said this, and I believe that you'll agree with what he has to say. It is one thing to hear for oneself a sweet lute. That's like an instrument, right? Like a flute, something like that. It is one thing to hear for oneself a sweet lute, sweetly played, and quite another thing merely to hear about it. An examination of the state of things in gospel churches today, he wrote this back in the 60s or something, creates a strong suspicion that an alarmingly high percentage of professing Christians today have never heard the lute for themselves. They have only been told about it from others. One word, he goes on to say, one word from the lips of the man who has actually heard the lute play will have more effect than a score of sermons by the man who has only heard that it was played at one time. And then he goes on to say, acquaintance is always better than hearsay. But many are living their Christian lives by hearsay rather than by acquaintance. Acquaintance implies personal engagement, personal relationship, where God is talking and we're listening and we're getting to talk back and he's listening. And there is that give and take of communion, of conversation, if you will, with God that makes acquaintance. Now, being inspired by the faith of others is great. Praise God for those who inspire our faith. That's great as far as it goes. But some are content only with the inspiration that they received from the one who heard from God, and they don't go further than being inspired. And they fall short of experience. It all feels wonderful to hear, to be inspired by a testimony, by some story that lifts your spirit, but sometimes it goes no further than being inspired by the story, rather than say, but is it possible that God would speak to me too? And we sometimes fail to take it to that step. Every testimony of faith is for you to receive it and then take it further in your own life. There's not one testimony of faith that it was intended for you to just say, oh, that's a nice story. And so, the question for us this morning is your Christian life built upon hearsay or experience? Are you acquainted with the voice of God who speaks? Do you know God or do you just know about Him? And there's a vast chasm between the two. There's a difference between intellectual knowledge and experiential knowledge. The difference between knowing about and knowing. It's not to downplay the importance of knowledge. You need knowledge. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You have to have knowledge. And so it's not to downplay the importance of information that has come from the lips of the God of the universe. He's given us information. He's given us doctrine. He's given us knowledge. And that's a wonderful thing that God has done, of course. We could know nothing unless He revealed Himself to us by giving us knowledge. So information is vital. But here's the thing, and I think this is where much of the struggle in the Christian life is that many know the theory, but not the experience. There is the theory of Christianity. There is the theory of the gospel. But the gospel was meant to get into your marrow. It was meant to get into your heart. It was meant to be heard by more than just the ears of your head and how God designed your body to receive impulses and messages. It was meant to get into the spirit realm of your heart. Amen?
Amen.
God's always interested in talking to the hearts of people. You know, I've thought of this. This is going to use this. This is our metaphor for the day to help us understand a little bit. Oh, look at that. There's a swimming pool behind me. Anybody looking forward to when you can go swimming in the pool? Well, there's some swimming pools I wouldn't want to get into. I will say that. But with that said, Christianity, if I can use this as a metaphor this morning, Christianity is like a swimming pool. Okay, so bear with me, please. I know it's not going to be a perfect metaphor, but I think you'll get the value that this metaphor brings to us today. It's a Christian, so Christianity is like a large swimming pool with both a shallow end and a deep end. Now, just a little bit about myself. I've never, ever liked getting my face wet. I mean, I'm one of those that if I'm going to get in the pool, I'm just basically keeping my head above water the whole time. Right? I hate it, you know. Again, now, for me, I like the shallow end of the pool. Because I can keep my head above water without a problem. I'm away from all those crazy kids out there that are dunking each other, and I'm just not really, you know, into that. I'm not a big high dive guy. Who loves the high dive? Anybody out there? You guys are high dive. You know, I get up on top of the high dive, and I see my life flash before my eyes. I can't see the water. I see the bottom of the floor of the pool. Okay. And so I'm just not one of those, I can take a swimming pool, you know, I'm not crazy about what can happen in the pool, you know, on the shallow end either, by the way, because you got those little kids in there wearing their diaper swimming suits, and that doesn't excite me very well either. So there's aspects to the shallow pool that I don't like, and there's aspects to the deep end of the pool that I'm not crazy about. Certainly I'm not crazy about the high dive. You know, but here's the thing, and as we get to kind of the point that we're trying to make here, if Christianity is like a swimming pool with a shallow end and a deep end, some have settled for the shallow side of the pool. Now, there's something about the shallow side of the pool that's compelling. You can touch the floor with your feet. There's the edges are all. It's not as big of an area in the as the larger area. So the smaller area, you can hang close to the edge. If you want those little swimmy things for your arms, you know, that's a good, you know, like that's where you kind of learn, you know. That's where all the kids with those swimmies or those floaties are hanging out, you know. I can keep my head above water. You know, there's something comfortable about the shallow end of the pool. Right. And so some believers, sometimes it's us, that we are content swimming in the shallow end of the pool. Now let's be clear about something. If you're in the pool, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay? If you're in the pool, praise the Lord. The people swimming on the deep end of the pool are more safe than the people swimming in the shallow end, okay? All right, so praise God. If you're in the pool, amen. But that isn't really to where what Christianity is to be about, is it? At least I'm in the pool. Right? That's not where we're supposed to end our Christian journey, beginning and ending in the shallow end of the pool. We're meant to go out into the deeper end. Now, there are those of us in the shallow end of the pool, they're glad that there are folks out the deeper end. They're glad. They're so glad that there are some people out the deeper end of the pool. We need them. We need them exploring the depths of that side of the pool. We kind of like it that they're over there too. We don't like it really when they try to drag us over there. Okay? So we're glad that there are people on that side of the pool. We're just not interested in stepping away from some of the things that are comfortable and that we're used to on the shallow end. Because if I go out into the deep end, I got to kind of let go of the ledge. And if I go out into the deep end, I'm not going to be able to touch the bottom anymore. I'm going to have to, you know, dog paddle. I hated that. But that's all I could do, it seemed. Just keep my head above water. Try to teach somebody how to swim that didn't want to put their face in the pool. Good luck with them. And that's sometimes that's us. I don't to go over there means I gotta I got to kind of get out of myself. I got to let go of some of my reservations, some of my concerns, some of my comforts, because it's a little, you get out into the pool, out in the deeper end, and man, I'm not going to be able to touch the bottom, and I'm going to be farther from the edge, and man, I'm going to go out under sometimes, you know, my face is going to get wet, you know, especially if the pool's cold. Boy, I hated swim class. You parents are insane making your kids do swim class. And I said that because they're not in here, because I didn't want to undermine your parenting. This is an imperfect metaphor, but the truth is that the shallow end of the pool is only the beginning. But there are some in their Christian life that have never left the shallow end. God never intended for us to remain in the safe end. We were meant to go deeper. In Luke chapter 5, after preaching to the crowds on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus told Peter, verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So what is Jesus' point here? Well, there's a number of things that, in fact, Peter, they had been just fishing all night, and so it's like, you're really asking a lot, Jesus. But because it's you, and we think, we're starting to think you're someone special, we'll go ahead and listen to what you have to say, and we'll go out further and cast the net out again. Didn't work all night, so we're not really expecting much. And so, obviously, there's something more going on than just catching fish, though, right? So as he said, he's telling Peter to launch out into the deep, but it's not just to catch fish. Do you follow? The story really is not about catching the fish. Peter is telling to launch out into the deep because he has a deeper place to take him beyond just fishing and throwing nets and catching fish. The catch, it was a great catch, but what was it intended? It was intended to reveal something deeper to them. And what did Jesus say to them? I will make you fishers of men. Launch out into the deep, Jesus says. Not so much to catch fish as much as to catch purpose. God's deep purposes are in the deep. And if we stay in the shallow end, we won't understand the deep purposes of God or his purposes for us in going into the deep. There's more of Jesus. But if we stay in the shallow end, we're only going to know Jesus in a shallow way. You understand that as you've grown in Jesus, in your understanding of God and his Son, that you've come to understand that there are depths to knowing him. You understand that, right? That there are things that when you first came to him, you've come to understand those things in deeper ways. It is because you weren't able to stay in the shallow end. There are some that are just settled with Jesus being a Savior, died on the cross for their sin, and it's going to take them to heaven. And guess what? They're in the pool. Praise God for it. But you think that's all? The whole pool is not shallow. It's deep. In fact, most of it is deep. And so God is calling us to go deeper. We've all done this as dads, where we grab a hold of our kid and throw him around our neck and say, hang on. And then what do? We take him out into the deep. Sometimes that's exactly what God is doing, because he doesn't want you to stay over there in the shallow end. And he knows that it were up to you, you'd never leave the shallow end. And so you're wondering maybe why that trial is you're facing that trial. Or you're in that crossroads right now. You're facing that difficulty. Maybe there's a loss. Or maybe there's some struggle, whatever it is. And you know it may be God throwing you around his neck and saying, let's go deeper. Because if it was up to you, John, you'd stay over there hanging on the ledge. Only walking where your feet can touch. Trust me, I know where the bottom is. You follow?
Yeah.
If we want to to know God's thoughts. Do you want to know God's thoughts? I mean, scripture all about God's thoughts. You want to know more about his thoughts? We're going to have to go deeper. Psalm 92, verse 5 says, O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. We will have to go deeper if we want to know the things of God better. Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. If you want to know the love of God more, you're going to have to go deeper. Listen to Ephesians 3. Paul prays that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Over and over again, the scriptures talk about the love of God abounding and overflowing, even in our hearts, just springing up into everlasting. You know, David was not content with a shallow knowledge of God, and God was not content with that either. So God, and this is in Psalm 42, God took David out into the deeper end of the pool. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 42. It's a depressing psalm, but it's a victorious psalm. It begins, and it talks about thirsting as the deer pants after the waters, so my soul pants after you. It begins with this deep, great thirst for God, for more of God. We don't know the circumstances in David's life necessarily. We can speculate. You know, we know enough of what his life entailed to kind of fill in the blanks of what it could be. Some hard things, some difficult things that he had faced. And so he's in a place where he is yearning for God. He's not able to go to the place of worship where God's presence dwells. But then he says something, and this is in verse 7. And he says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Now, the word deep in the Hebrew here means abyss. They often saw the bodies of water, like the Sea of Galilee, for instance. They considered that was the abyss. That was a place of darkness and even death. There was even a supernatural, a superstitious element to their understanding of water. Certainly, they saw there was a supernatural element to it as well. So when they thought of the water, they thought that there was even creatures that lived in it, whatever. I mean, remember that when Jesus was walking on the water, they looked at Jesus, they thought he was a ghost, you know? So it speaks of this abyss, and it refers to a surge or a mass of waters or a flood. But here is a man being beaten down. That's one of the pictures that we get here. A man being beaten down by the waves. And there is this wave, pounding wave after wave after wave, knocking him down. Almost like there's this picture of him trying to get up, trying to, you know, if we've gone to the ocean before, if you've gone to where there's that undertow and the strong waves that pound, and sometimes you get caught up in it, and sometimes you misjudge the wave and it knocks you down, and then it sucks you in, and you try to get up and it knocks you down again and sucks you in. I'm going to get exhausted just talking about it. Life's like that. Life is like wave after wave crashing and sucking us in. We're trying to get air. We're sucking up salt water and it's in our eyes and the sand is all everywhere and everything. You know, just a mess. You're trying to get up. You just can't. You can't fight effectively against the waves. And just in David's case, and isn't that true? Sometimes that's the way we feel. There's just no interruption. One crisis after another. One problem after another, one difficulty after another. And there's no respite from the breakers. But you know, it's interesting, and it's easy to miss this, because we could just leave it at that and say, well, that's just what he's saying here, but he's not just saying that. See, as he began, as he was considering the beating of these waves, crashing of these waves, he began to realize something. Begin to realize that they were God's waves. What he says? Deep calls unto deep the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves, your billows have gone over me. And all of a sudden, David, in his state of despair, even, all of a sudden, he realizes that he's in God's deep. And all of a sudden, he realizes that God has taken him out into the deep end. Because it's God's waves. It's God's waterfalls. It's God's spouts. It's God's billows. It's God's breakers. And yes, he has come to a, there was a point where he was despairing of life, but now you see that there is hope. Because since if they're God's billows and they're God's waves and they're God's water spouts, then I'm in God's hands. And I can hope in God. And you see, David has been taken from the shallow end to the deep end of the pool. Because that's where God has, that's where the deep things of God are. That's where the deeper experience with God is. That's where we're relying on His feet to touch the ground and not mine. That's where we go to not have to rely on the ledge of the pool, but we rely on God, who is our rock. Amen? Amen. And so He takes us out. Sometimes we didn't really want it. I would suggest to you that thinking about this psalm and some of the experiences that David had, David didn't necessarily want all of this experience, all at least what it entailed. But then he transformed, and then David's testimony and his faith transforms how we view the waves. And the waves, yes, the crashing, breaking waves are God's waves. And they're meant to take us deeper in who God is. And that God is sufficient and that God is able. And we'll never experience that God if we stay in the shallow end. So, we are called not merely to tell others about what we have read about and heard about. Just doesn't, I'll share stories and that kind of thing, and maybe you share stories. It's not the same if it's not your story. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, there's still a lesson there, there's still a message there, but there's something about when you're speaking from firsthand experience that changes everything. In fact, people can tell the difference. People know the difference between whether you're talking to them about something that you've heard or something that happened to you or something that you experienced yourself. They know the difference. You know the difference. You know, I was thinking, it's kind of like, I believe that we're called to, but we cannot take people out into that deep end if we're not out there ourselves. That if I'm stuck in the shallow end and I don't want to leave the shallow, I'm never taking anybody deeper. So I believe that we cannot take people where we have not been ourselves. But it makes me think of, you know, you've done this before. I've done this plenty of times. You go to the store. Pick your store, Walmart, Home Depot, wherever. And you spend half hour or more, looking for something. You've gone to that aisle over and over again, right? You're looking for whatever that is. You go to this aisle, and you go to that aisle. You say, well, I check this, I check that area, that aisle, that aisle, that aisle. So you exhaust your resources. And then you decide if you can find one. Then you ask somebody wearing, you know, some sort of something that shows that they work there. A worker. Can you help me find this item? And my eyes begin to roll when they say, yeah, and they take me to the very places that I've already been. I think it's over here. And they take you to the exact, yes, I actually lifted that up, looked at it, read it, turned it around, it wasn't it. Yes, and then they take you to the other place that you were already at in the store. And then they take you to the other, am I the only one that's experienced this? Okay, I know what we're doing. So they take you to the very places that you've already been. And, you know, courteous, kind, nice, appreciated, always. But not ultimately very helpful. We went to, it was Walmart this time. And Andrew and I were looking for some bowls. Some new bowls. I think we were, our bowls were, you know, we were about the end. They were spent, you know, we'd get rid of them, they were breaking or whatever. I want to buy some new bowls. We were looking around. And this was great. So there's we asked this one worker that was in the aisle. I don't even know if we asked her. She might have just been like, what are you looking for? You know, one of those things. And we said, well, we're looking for some bowls. You know, cereal bowls, things like that. And she's like, oh, I know where you can get some. And so she takes us to this aisle. And behind, because I think she was planning on buying them herself, she goes behind some of these other items, and there's some bowls tucked back behind. You would never have seen them. But she was like, obviously she felt we were wonderful people and felt that she could, you know, and it was a deal, and it was like a special deal. It was like $5 for these awesome bowls, right? And yes, there's the person that I need. Somebody that can show me the secrets. Somebody that can take me deeper. Somebody that can show me really what I'm looking for. When I didn't know what I was looking for. And that's the kind of workers we need. Yes. And that's the kind of believers God's calling. Those who don't. Who can take people. Beyond the shallow end. Listen, the shallow end, this is one of the things that the shallow end of the pool does. It is a testament of the grace of God. Because nobody gets into this pool outside of the grace of God, right? It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone, faith in Him alone, that allows us to put one toe in the pool. Amen? Shallow Christianity cannot do much of anything in this world. Can. Because if all Christianity is to help you be comfortable and secure that you're going to heaven, and that there's nothing in you that is compelling anyone else, there's more, and it's deeper than they've ever known. You follow? Mm-hmm. Listen to, this is 1 John. That which was from the beginning, verse 1. Really hear these words. This is the Apostle John. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is what made the difference in the disciples' witness. This right here is what made all of the difference. There were those that go back to the book of Acts. And there were those that they looked at the apostles, they looked at the disciples, they wondered, what are they? This is so unlike where they came from and who they should be. They're living way outside the box of a fisherman in Galilee. Okay? And there was this testimony of them. Oh, they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And that made all the difference in their testimony. You see, if they could not say this, which we have seen, which we've heard, which we've looked upon, our hands have touched, if they could not speak from personal experience in this sense, then they're just talking about what other people said and did and heard. You see what the disciples are doing here in this passage? They're inviting others, their readers, their hearers, us. They're inviting others to see and hear and experience for themselves. You hear what they said? We're inviting you into the fellowship that we have. And that fellowship is with the Son of God. They're inviting the readers, the hearers, to taste and see and hear for themselves. We all know, there's nobody in this room that is content with just knowledge about anything, and particularly with something that's of interest to you. Okay, we got a little baby in this room, right? Where's that little baby at? Somewhere up in there. Oh, there's that up there. Now, I know this isn't everybody, but a lot of you folks in this room, were you content with just hearing the weight? Those kind of descriptions of, oh, girl, dark hair. No, you're not content with just the information. See, some of you, you want to hold the baby. Okay? It's not enough to just give the information. You want to hold the baby for yourself. If I were to, I'm starting to get hungry. So, if I were to describe to you, like right now, what I would really love to eat, and I know it's not going to happen because it's not on the menu today, so I'm just kind of throwing this out. But I love a really, really good cheeseburger. Okay. I mean, just, and you know, and I could describe that to you. Okay. We've got some ground, we had some bacon ground in the hamburger. I like not just one piece of cheese, but I like it layered, and I sauteed onions up beyond that. Are they good? Anybody like, who does mushrooms, like sauteed mushrooms? I'm not one of those. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. It's an acquired taste. But I'm okay if they're on there. Sometimes, anybody like the spicy end of things? Like you want to put like one of those habanero peppers on there? Something like that? There's a few of you? Okay, that's just like when you want a kick. Okay? It's the kind of burger that, you know, it's like it covers your hand even as you're holding it, just dripping, right? All right? Have I made anybody hungry yet? All right, and let me ask you the question. Is that enough? Is describing to you the burger that I would hope to eat enough? No, I hope what I've done is stirred up a hunger for a burger. Good luck finding one. I mean, there's a couple places you get a good burger. I don't know about on a Sunday, though. But you know what I'm saying? Nobody's content with the description. The description's wonderful. And I can even describe to you what it tastes like. No, actually, it's a mystery. It's just wonderful flavors. Couldn't even describe that very well. Even that would be like, that's not enough. And by the way, you're not going to just get full by hearing it either. Too much contentment in the Christian life, hearing the information, hearing the descriptions, hearing the details, but not assimilating it, not engaging it, not wanting it. If this did not stir up some sort of hunger in Europe, then you might check their pulse, see if they're even alive. Okay? But listen, that goes spiritually. If we could talk about the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, and it doesn't do something in you, does it move you in some way, then check your pulse. I'm not saying you're not in shallow end. Some of us have to check whether we're in the pool at all. And if we're still content, shallow end, there's something wrong. We're meant to go deeper. You know, I love what Jesus said. Remember when Jesus is having this conversation with the disciples? And he talks about seeing the Father, showing them the Father. You remember what Philip says? He says, show us the Father. Remember when Philip said that, John 14? Show us the Father. You remember what Jesus said? I have a picture in my mind of what Jesus did, or how Jesus looked when Philip asked that question. It's the kind of look that sometimes we have when somebody asks us a really dumb question. Now, we commend Philip for wanting to see the Father, but Jesus says this. If I could get the right mannerisms, I would. It's like, I don't believe it's a sin to be exasperated. Okay? Philip, have you been with me for so long and you have not seen the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Have you been with me so long, Philip? And I can almost see Jesus doing that to us at times. Times when we scramble away from the deep end and go try to get back to shallow. It's like when Peter walked on water and he starts to sink. Jesus is still standing on the water and he starts to sink. I mean, we commend him for getting out of the boat. We commend him for thinking that maybe he could walk on water too. But he starts to sink and Jesus doesn't rush over there and say, poor you. No, he rebukes him. Where's your faith? You could have made it all the way. But I hear Jesus speaking to his people. He's speaking to us. And for some of us, we've known him for a long time. And can you hear his voice? Saying, have I been with you this long? And you still don't understand? You still don't know me? Shallow pool Christianity. We're called to go deeper. Jesus is not content leaving you as you are today. Why? Because there's more about him he wants to reveal to you. And so when he grabs you and he throws you around his neck, don't fight. He knows what he's doing. Amen? He knows what he's doing. Let's stand. When the church, early church, was being persecuted, they were being prohibited to speak in the name of Jesus. They said this. They said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Let's read this together.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him.
You see, you hear the psalmist's heart? You hear David's heart? No, you taste and see. You apprehend. You grab a hold of. You pursue. You seek. You press on. You do it. Praise God that you have those around you that are. You must do it. We've got children, young kids, teenagers, young adults that have a lot of knowing about Christianity. But they're falling left and right because there's something missing. We need to encourage them to taste and see for themselves and not just take my word for it. But if we are going to say anything to them, anybody around us, we must say it from personal experience. Oh, I've tasted and seen. And you can tell, can't you? You can tell. And they will be able to notice, and they will be able to see that there's something that you've tasted and seen that they want and need. And little by little, they may either get into the pool, or they may come from the shallow end and come out to the deep. Brethren, we've been called to go deeper. Don't stay where you're at. I don't know where you're at. God knows where you're at. And maybe you do in some way, but don't stay there. Go deeper. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you.